Lost, lost, lost in the jungle, Jesus saves the lost. And he told lots of stories about things that got lost and found. And we are going to hear another one of those stories this morning, and we'll hear it talked about as well. This is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. It's going to come up on the screen behind me.
Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
Now, what we're going to do just for a few minutes, boys and girls, mums and dads and friends, is think about that story which we saw on the screen, taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. So if you've got a Bible or you've got a phone, you might want to have it open just nearby as we study it. It's actually quite a simple story. It's a story that Jesus told, but it's got a really, really important lesson, boys and girls. And here's the important lesson. The lesson is that Jesus loves to rescue the lost. You can see on the screen behind me, Jesus loves to rescue the lost. In fact, it's so important. Why don't we all stand up and we're going to say this together. So let's stand on our feet. And when I say Jesus, we're pointing up high. Jesus loves to rescue the lost. Okay, so after three. One, two, three. Jesus loves to rescue the lost. Have a seat. Thank you very much. It's amazing. And the reason it's so amazing, boys and girls and mums and dads and friends, is because the context of the story is Jesus talking to two very different groups of people. The first group of people are called the tax collectors and sinners. You can see them on the screen. Now, these were people gathering around Jesus. We don't really know what the sinners had done. Maybe they'd been unkind to other people. They'd hurt other people, maybe. Maybe they'd been selfish. Maybe they'd been greedy. Maybe they'd told lies. We don't really know why they're called sinners. The tax collectors, well, they used to steal money from the people as they gave the money on to the Romans. And so no one liked the tax collectors or the sinners. So that's one group of people. But there's another group of people, and they are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Now, boys and girls, do you think Jesus would like those tax collectors and sinners? Do you think he would like those kind of people? They're bad, they're nasty. You know, naturally, we think he wouldn't like them. Do you know what? Those Pharisees and those teachers of the law really didn't like those tax collectors and sinners. And they really didn't like Jesus liking the tax collectors and the sinners. Now, these Pharisees and teachers of the law were very, very good and upright people. They always kept the law. They always went to church on time. They always booked in at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning to get their seat front and centre. They knew the Bible memory verse really, really well. They knew all the Bible stories brilliantly. Always went to holiday Bible club. But they could not stand the fact that Jesus wanted to be with people who'd never been to church and who didn't know the Bible and never went to holiday Bible club because they're doing other things, because he wanted to be with the tax collectors and the sinners. They could not stand that. And so Jesus tells them a story, and this is what he says, and you can see this in your Bibles. It's in Luke chapter 15, verse 3. Does Jesus really like being with tax collectors and sinners? Let's hear the story. Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep. Now, I've got 100 sheep, not real sheep, but they're kind of here we go. Let's put that there. Here we are, 100 sheep. They're actually 100 sheep. If you count them really closely, you have to go nice and high. Thanks, girls. Brilliant. 100 sheep. Actually, if you look really closely, you'll see there are not 100 sheep there. There are actually only 99 sheep because one of the sheep has escaped. Look, here he is. He's a little bit bigger than the rest of them. And this is a really, really naughty sheep that has escaped the line. Now, we don't know what happened to this naughty sheep. I don't know whether if you're a farmer, one naughty sheep runs away. If you're a farmer, do you care about the one sheep that ran away? Do you know what? Over the summer holidays, my family went to a farm. It didn't have sheep. It had loads and loads of cows. It was a cattle farm. And they had 500 cows at the cattle farm. And do you know what? The farmer loved every single one of those 500 cows, knew all about them, could identify them, and he was very, very concerned. If any one of those cows was poorly or not eating, certainly if they ran away. So thanks, girls, you can put the sheep down. But this farmer, even though this sheep has run away, the farmer's still concerned about him. You see, it's not really good being a lost sheep. If you're a lost sheep and you run away, maybe you fall over into a ditch. Maybe there's no one to protect you from the wolves. There's no one to feed you. It's really, really, really bad being a lost sheep. But you know what, boys and girls? There's a reason Jesus tells a story about the lost sheep. He's not really concerned about sheep. He's concerned about boys and girls and mums and dads and grown-ups. And I think when Jesus told the story of the lost sheep, he had another Bible passage in his mind from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. It's quite a famous verse. It's on the screen. And anyone who can read, why don't we read it out together after three? One, two, three. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. I think that passage was in Jesus' mind when he told the story of the lost sheep. He's not that worried about lost sheep. He's really worried about lost people. And the first lesson, he's got two lessons to teach us. Here's the first lesson. We are all like lost sheep. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what Jesus teaches us. We are all like lost sheep. I'm going to put my lost sheep just there on the stage here. If you can balance nicely, that'll do. And we're all like lost sheep. Now, that doesn't mean we're all fluffy and cuddly and cute and maybe a little bit smelly and are really good with roast potatoes and mint sauce. That's not what it means to be. Sorry, a bit harsh, but you've got to mention it. That's not what it means to be a lost sheep. What does it mean to be a lost sheep? Well, let me try and define being lost this way. I think being lost means wandering from God's way. Wandering from God's way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each has turned to our own way. We've wandered from God's own way. Now, what does that look like in practice? Now, at this point, I'd love a volunteer, someone to come on the stage and help me out. So, now, just a little advance notice, you're going to get some sweeties as a result. So come on. Any volunteers out there? Now they need, okay, yeah, come on, Israel. Do you want to come and join me? Do you want to join me? Okay. Okay, Israel, you can come and be part of the gang. Excellent. Good man. Okay. Now. Okay, we'll try this. I think your name's Israel, isn't it? Is that right? Yeah? Good boy. Okay, now, Israel, I'm going to give you these sweeties, okay? And what, in order to get the sweeties, I'm going to hide them somewhere, okay? And you need to go where Uncle Dave has hidden them, okay? Do you think you can do that? Yeah, you can do that, okay. But the thing is, I'm going to hide them. I don't want you to know where I've hidden them. Otherwise, you could just go and see them, because you've got to really hunt them out like they're lost, okay? So, I want to, Joe, could you take Israel outside? I'm going to hide them, and then you can go and find them. Is that okay? Is that fun? Yeah, you go with Uncle Joe. Okay, nice one. Okay, so Joe is going to take Israel into a soundproof booth we have outside in the outside of the chapel. And this is amazing. Okay, so Israel's going outside. Excellent. Now, little social experiment we're going to do with Israel here. It's all fine. No one's going to get hurt. But I'm going to tell him I have hidden these sweeties underneath this tree, okay? I'm going to tell him I've hidden the sweeties underneath that tree. And I'm going to say, Israel, the sweeties are underneath that tree. But as soon as he starts going to that tree, I'd like, Mark, could you say, Israel, the sweeties are by the crocodile? Could you just shout that out, okay? Okay, and then as maybe he keeps going on a little bit further. And as he's doing that, I wonder, Bethan, could you say, Israel, they're by the crocodile, so you can kind of reinforce the point, okay? And then maybe Ellie, you can kind of join in. They're by the crocodile, then maybe Caleb, they're by the crocodile. And so we'll get a bit of kind of growing course of people saying they're by the crocodile. I'll be saying it's by the tree. And we'll see. If he keeps going, maybe a few more voices further back can say, by the crocodile, okay? So let's see whether Israel wants to play along. We'll see how this goes. Never work with animals and children, so we'll see. Oh, dear me. Israel, good. I hope you didn't hear my secret place. Come on up here, Israel. So do you remember? You're going to stand here. Excellent. Okay. Okay, Israel, listen to me. So do you remember I had some sweeties? Now, I've hidden them somewhere, okay? And if you go to where I hid them, you can have the sweeties, okay? Promise. Okay, so look at me. They're underneath that tree.
Israel,
they're
by the crocodile.
Oh,
yeah, they're
by the crocodile.
Oh, the crocodile's on the floor.
It's under the
tree. Oh, crocodile's there, yeah. It's just by the under the tree. If you go on the floor under the tree, have a little look. Okay, Israel, come with Uncle Dave. Here, let me show you. Here we go. Look at this. Well done. What great sport, Israel, you are. When I was three, I wasn't being picked on by the pastor. This is great. Now, listen, Israel, come with me. Look over here. Have a little look under there. What can you see? Do you want to go and grab them? Oh, what a good boy. Brilliant. Fantastic. Do you want to go and sit down with Auntie Jo? Jo's going to take you. So, isn't that amazing? So, Israel got the sweets where I told him they were. But as soon as he heard other voices that said, it's another way, it's another direction, it's by the crocodile, my voice didn't sound that impressive because other voices called a different way. You know, that's a lot like what the Bible says sin is, because God says to us, this is how you're to live. Follow me and you can be with me. But we hear the voices of the world around us. Maybe our friends who don't know Jesus saying, oh, come my way. No, you don't need to be kind to your brother. If they're unkind to you, you punch him back. Or maybe a movie we watch and the children in the movie are unkind or a bit rude to mum and dad. And we think, you know, that's how I want to be, thank you very much. And I'll start saying some rude words and being a bit unkind, a bit selfish. And the world pulls us away. And then we think, you know, I want to have more stuff, and I've got friends who've got things, and I see them say, oh look, do you want to have some more toys and more sweets, and even though God says I'll provide for you, trust me, we kind of get pulled away. And that's what it's like to be a sheep that has wandered away. You see, boys and girls, mums and dads, all of us are like lost sheep, and we've all turned away. And now what does that look like? Maybe it means disobeying mum and dad. Maybe it means being unkind. Maybe it means being a bit selfish and maybe saying a bit of a lie or stealing something that doesn't belong to me. All of us have turned away. Now, if you're one of the Pharisees in the story or the teachers of the law, and you hear about this lost sheep, I bet the Pharisees and the teachers of the law say, ah, yeah, exactly, you, the farmer should leave that sheep to stay lost. You know, it jolly deserves to be lost, having wandered away like that. You know, there are far more important things for the farmer to do than run after little lost sheep. Is that really what you should be doing, farmer? Stupid sheep. You'd have thought the Pharisees would think, but this is how the story goes. So let me read in Luke 15, verse 4. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now, boys and girls, and mums and dads, I'm going to read out the next three verses, okay? And I want you to listen out for a word that gets repeated three times. And if it's a happy word, give me some thumbs up, okay? Listen closely. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts on his shoulders and goes home, and he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. What was the repeated word? Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice with me. It's really, really good news. So is the man grumpy when he has to go and rescue the sheep? Is he grumpy? Is he a bit moody? Is he a bit, oh, for goodness sake, you stupid sheep. You fell down a crack in the ground and you ran away and I've got to leave all my other sheep. Is he like that? Is he annoyed? He had loads of other things to do. Is he annoyed about it? No. He's just like bursting with joy. He's so excited. He can't believe it. Yes, I'm so excited. Throw the party. Celebrate with me. Heaven, celebrate. Celebrate with me. Why? Well, we've seen the first thing is that we are all like lost sheep. Second lesson from Jesus. Jesus loves to rescue the lost. Boys and girls, mums and dads, friends, that is the most important thing you could ever hear. That Jesus loves to rescue the lost. He's not kind of, oh, if I absolutely must, I'm really disappointed with you. Okay, let me rescue you. Kind of dragging his heels. If I've got to go and do it. Joyfully. Loves to. He celebrates when he rescues the lost. Heaven celebrates. Even though you may be a bit like a Shere Khan in the story, you think, oh, I can't possibly go into heaven. I've done so much bad stuff. I'm not going to deserve a place there. You're not going to want me. Oh, yes, I am going to want you. Come back to me. Turn around from living for yourself and turn back to going my way. Join me in my family. That wonderful verse, I tell you, the same way there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. The angels in heaven celebrate when one person turns around from living for themselves to trust in God than a whole room full of people who think they don't need God because they're so good to themselves. For Jesus, what do we say? Jesus loves to rescue the lost. That's what our passage says. The question I want to finish though with, boys and girls and mums and dads, friends, is a really important question, is how? How does Jesus rescue the lost? Well, do you remember that Bible verse I said I think was in Jesus' mind when he gave that little story from Isaiah 53 verse 6? We're going to complete the whole verse because I missed out the last bit. Isaiah 53 verse 6. Let's read it out together on the screen. After three. 1, 2, 3. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, iniquity is an old-fashioned Bible word for sin. All the wrong things that we do and we say and we think. Jesus never went astray like a lost sheep. And yet, this Bible verse tells us that Jesus eventually would die on the cross and the Lord would lay on him the sin of us all, that Jesus would die on the cross in our place to take the punishment for our sin. Let me try and illustrate it this way. I've got a diary here, and maybe, I don't know whether a mum or dad or someone you know, a carer, used the diary to keep a note of all the things you need to do. Imagine in my diary, I'd written all the things I did today, okay? But all the things I thought and the things I said, and quite a lot of those things are bad things. They're not all good things. Everything I've done wrong, I wrote it down. Every thought I had that was bad, I wrote it down. Every word I said I shouldn't have done, I wrote it down. This book is a record of all the wrong stuff in my life. Imagine this hand represents me, and up there, above the ceiling, is God, because he's in heaven, and he's perfect. And this record of all my sin cuts me off from God. Can you see that? It blocks me from God. It blocks my way. Now here's Jesus. He has not got anything between him and God. He never did anything wrong. He never wandered away like a lost sheep. He was perfect. When Jesus died on the cross, everyone listen, this is so important. He took on himself all my bad stuff, all my sin, all the punishment that I should bear because of that on himself. He was separated from his Father so that we, if we trust in him, can be forgiven. And can have a perfect relationship. Nothing separates me from God now. If I turn around from living for myself and trust in him and say, sorry, please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And boys and girls, mums and dads, friends, that's the best news you can possibly hear. That's why we talk about it all the time here at Highfields. We love you to do that.